Is it not true that everything is God's and just temporarily on loan to you during your visit to Earth? After all, what do you take of your physical world with you upon departure but the memories of your thoughts and behaviors and the emotions of it all? The Golden Age, then, is a time of group process, where a number of people who have established soul contact can envision a mutual goal and move toward it in loving thought and commitment with immense energy behind their intention. It is the difference between small individual flashlights on a stormy night and one huge lighthouse beam where the beam is clear and strong. Just as one person's light will combine with other lights into a larger soul connection and a greater thought form, truly do the combined thoughts of many amalgamate into a huge single thought that can be brought to fruition more easily than the smaller thoughts of several single persons. So, mutually committed purposes and the power of multiple energies to support them is the essence of this golden age. That and peace are the framework. Now draw in a breath of peace and think on something exquisitely beautiful. In the golden age, if what you think of is God-made, be assured it will last. If what you think of is mechanical, be suspicious and turn your thoughts to that source which created all the universes, the planets and stars and life upon them. Then think again about what is beautiful. Your answer is guided by your soul's understanding, for it knows you were created by a force beyond your comprehension and yet not without your sensing, your knowing. This is why meditation is so vital. In the stillness as you seek God, you grow quiet and become peaceful. In that act alone you fulfill the simple truth which is the greatest of all the experiments in all the universes. You become, for just a moment, a created being of light without judgment or worry or fear. You become peacefully wise. For just a moment touch upon your true identity which is love. In meditation you let all the rest fall away and breathe this love and peace in, and out. Just as the Creator did in all the work brought forth by the Word, the implemented thought behind the universes. As you will learn, God breathed out life and is breathing us back home again, and you of the 12th universe are moving from the farthest reaches back toward the center of light and energy that sent you out. This particular historical time in human consciousness is focused on that aspect of God that clarifies the difference between concrete, material world science and the science of the soul, which is a far greater thing. Thus each being on earth must choose between the things of sensory perception, of the physical senses and intellect, and the greater knowing from the intuitive or soul aspect of self. Each must seek the science of the soul first to achieve the needed balance in life. Those who choose wisely to know the truth of life will assist the planet in her, and their own, ascension to higher realms. The remainder will insist that the material world is the only reality and will fall short of the challenge that is being presented to them. For the planet must demonstrate love and wisdom for her evaluation and graduation, and humanity must do the same. Intellect cannot bring love and peace. That is not its purpose. Your key to reaching that goal lies in bringing to balance the soul's science or knowing the universal laws and bringing them onto the physical body of Earth to manifest. Many of your present scientists, especially, will be caught in this crunch of realities. But each person must make the soul choice if progress and ascension are to be assured. Then send love and blessings to the technological and scientific communities on this planet, for they need your prayers and support during this time of challenge. Put another way, this is the personality's Armageddon, the questioning intelligence versus the intuitive knowing. And in this apparent war of intellect against heart, peace must be found through using both in a perfect state of balance. But beginning with the intuitive. For it is from reverent awareness and inquiry that humanity grows in the imperishable quality of truth hidden from your view in the third dimensional world. Remember, then, that it is only after you are grounded in true spiritual direction that you can become an effective group member ready to freely serve based upon suggestions from your soul. Only when you have integrated your 67, parent of all. But let me pause a moment and describe that one we call parent so that you have a picture to hold in your mind, your heart. For in many ways are you created like God. Although of course God is both male and female energy combined in perfect balance, as we have said. This is critical to understand, for in the separation, or descent into a third-dimensional world, God's wholeness suffered division into duality on your earth. There you have densified or solidified into those two separate parts called male and female. One day all humanity who have chosen to return to God will lose the density of the physical body and become a form of light containing both male and female principles in balanced proportion. It is in this ascension that you will become more like me, the Son of God, who is made purely in the image and identity of that powerful one. God has a form of immense size and of a blinding glow beyond description. While it is true that the Father, Mother is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, do not forget that God has an enduring and passionate love for everything of its creation. God is not a gaseous vapor nor a nebulous, formless something. It is from the perfect love and immense power of this indescribable being that you are born as souls, as children of the cosmos. Blessed are those who choose to believe, for the power and love of this great one are beyond telling. Yes, you are the children of a great being who loves you. Most importantly, our parent is personally directing your destiny through us at this time when we would have you return home. Only those dedicated and willing souls on earth who are assisting the planet Earth's rise nearer to God, only those of loving disposition and intention, are welcome there. I tell you, my dear ones, your parent is a beautiful being of light beyond description in your language. But perhaps you can sense this from the simple remarks I have made? Let every doubting heart open wide to acknowledge that your parent exists, for those who persist in denying this indescribable first cause deny their own identity, and through free will they will be deeply wounded by false choosing. Again, hear what I say. In denying God's origin you deny your own. This is what causes the mortal error leading to spiritual retardation. You either live within the love that God extends or by your denial move outside of that immense love. And not just for these few years you call life. Whether you like it or not, God allows each soul its own choice, because to have a heaven, each must agree and wish to be there. Only on earth is there this broad range of experiences, as in a training school of multiple attitudes and negative dispositions. Here you have various educational and military training centers where the person enlists or attends and then learns a certain curriculum leading to advancement and positions of responsibility. Power and active aspects of God. Both of these universes are of such a high vibration you could not see them with the human eye, just as most earth dwellers cannot see me and the angelic hosts. In those separate universes, both the males or females could independently reproduce offspring with the breath, even as God ordained it, and needed not a sexual, physical counterpart. This is a spiritual dimension strange to your own body limitations, I realize, but it is nonetheless true. Those who have difficulty with the so-called virgin birth may see it now in a new light. The fourth universe was created following the experience in which the male and female principles were separated from each other. They were recombined in the fourth universe, since love and power should be together and not kept apart. This is a soul essence and quality that I speak about, not your dense physical flesh which came eons later after the other universes were completed. Then they were made by the father/mother's breath, even as the first four universes came forth, a series of specialized planets where particular qualities or functions were stressed in both the male and female beings. In the fifth universe was developed the power of mind thought, which is different from intellect. Let me clarify that in God all are of one mind and are whole. When spirit leaves God's mind to experience life in matter worlds, it then has separated minds capable of individual soul experience. Yet this entire universe kept one primary, unified thought, or intention, to love God, paramount, even though the souls were separated. By your standards this was miraculous. In humans, then, you need a love purpose to direct energy into thought, or you will misuse it. A thought is energy moving its intention into reality. A thought is alive. God's thought is energy in a single focused creation. It does not analyze or break things down into separate parts as does human intellect. On earth many of your technologists have great intellects, but not wholesome minds. Mind requires a heart's love for wholeness. Intellect is only 50% of thought. When intellect and intuition or God-knowingness are combined, There is perfect balance. In that fifth universe, all inhabitants did so well they were allowed to return to the Creator en masse, and it is now an unpopulated area in what you call space. Of all the many creations, only these of the fifth universe were never lured into temptation away from God as an entire group. Although there are isolated examples elsewhere of this great God love in the mind of his created ones, never did an entire universe grasp the love principle and practice it so perfectly. It is there you ought to emulate, dear ones, so you can also go home together. But, of course, this took eons to demonstrate, and the Creator had been busy making other universes in the meantime. The sixth universe is a place where the miniaturization of life forms was stressed, so the inhabitants are tiny in size, the planets are smaller than most, and the beings love God devotedly as their acts of producing beautiful natural things, such as flowers, prove. The descendants of these tiny creations living on your Earth's etheric plane, often called nature spirits by those with the clairvoyant power to see them, are dedicated to bring flower and plant life to its highest form. These little workers are purely devoted to their task of beauty and have never strayed from the function for which they were created. In the seventh universe of 8 million planets, 1 million inhabited, the male and female beings were focused solely in the area of intellectual expertise, mathematical science primarily. Because of this great emphasis upon the gaining of scientific knowledge, there was no love side to their nature for one another or for the Creator. Here it was learned that intellect in male or female without the balance of heart love is not desirable. This seventh universe is still functioning, but the citizens are yet paying off a debt to God which I cannot describe at this time. Suffice it to say, all must accept that science is a God-made thing, not the work of mere mortals who claim it as theirs. A true scientist can only discover a universal law or principle to fulfill life's function and use it for the good of all. In fact, every scientist is obligated to seek reverently for God's principles, with the intention of applying them only for the common good. In the eighth universe of 4 million planets, our Creator caused a million to be inhabited and did a variety of experiments to understand the effects of the rays upon matter. Here some beings were given almost X-ray vision, others were imbued with the rays of heat, magnetism and electricity and were able to oscillate, to levitate. I will say only that there were many different experiments made to learn the effects from various kinds of temperature changes, effects from extensive dark and light exposure, and so forth. These creations willingly underwent the experiments for the good of the life forms which would follow them. Because of their difficulties during these trials, however, I came to give my love and peace during their many cataclysms. For while they could feel the presence of God during these various experiments, it was my stepping down of the Creator's power vibration that gave them a greater awareness of God's presence and comfort. So you see, dear ones, in the omniverse all of God's creations have their plans and purposes. Each builds upon the prior gifts of the ones before it. Thus, in your position in the 12th and last universe, while God prepares to bring you home, you have the aspects of all this learning at your disposal if only you seek and synthesize it. The 9th universe, with only about 900 inhabited planets, was a spacious and unusual experiment. These people were focused on their spiritual natures and the love of God so constantly and consistently that this area is now empty of them. Merely a perfumed hush of peace remains in the ethers from their gentle natures. Because of their deep devotion, our Creator would often come there, close to those who were different in size or magnitude from each other, but not different in the size of their affection. They all had the gifts of clairvoyance, clairaudience and mediumship. Where did they go? Some to God and some to rebirth into your 12th universe, dear ones. A few are a part of this universe, this solar system, and your planet in ways you find it difficult to understand. But they are part of some of you if you claim them. Unlike their devoted predecessors of the 9th universe, the 10th universe creations were attentive only to the matters of theology or the study of comparative religions throughout the many universes. With only 10% of some 900 planets inhabited, they spent their time thinking and learning. In their theological colleges they would study these